we go to the West Coast as we're joined by Ben Kuzma from the province. Ben, thanks for taking some time this evening. How you doing?
No problem, guys. I'm well. How are you?
And we're doing good, thanks. Before we get to the stuff on the ice with the Vancouver Canucks, All-Star Weekend just wrapped up. Everyone I spoke to who was there and everyone who watched it seemed to enjoy it. What did you think from watching it?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised because I did a piece with Daniel Sedin in our Sunday paper about being the lone Canuck representative and what he actually thought. And he was of the mind that, you know, if they don't get 3-on-3 right, you know, where does the NHL go from here with the entire format and just the concept of an All-Star game? And I have to say, I was impressed, and I guess a lot of it had to do with John Scott.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I think what we need to understand here is when you talk to players, do they really want to be at the All-Star game? Even in a great place like Nashville, and I've certainly been there several times, it's just that in the big picture, it is a corporate schmooze. It's not really a game designed to play at any temple, but they seem to have found a way to satisfy everybody here, because I think a lot of players could easily be on a beach, or if you're in Vancouver, half the team was up in Whistler, but they found a way. And thank goodness for John Scott, because the NHL somehow came out of this smelling sweeter than it should, not actually wanting him there. And I think if you really think about it, if you get the players aside, they're probably smiling, because it was a way of getting to the NHL for maybe understanding a little bit further that they've got to come up with a concept that's going to work every year, not a one-off.
You mentioned you had they had their players smiling, Ben. Are Vancouver Canucks players smiling through 50 games, 2019 and 11? Is this where you thought the Canucks would be coming out of the All-Star break?
Pretty much. I don't think I envision this kind of a transition to youth. The fact that more often than not on a given night, you're going to have 3 or 4 rookies in the lineup. Part of that is through necessity, but the bigger part is through the ability to play. And, you know, as you're trending to be one of the older teams in the NHL, you got to go that route. But when the guys can actually play, the problem is managing their time. And, you know, when you get to this time of the season, I mean, games in February, March really ramp up. And when you've got guys that haven't played these many games, or college players like Ben Hutton on the back end, who played, you know, 39 games at the University of Maine last year, has already played 43. And then the last game here before the break, you know, it looked like he was feeling it. So, but the Canucks are done with most of their road schedule. So, the problem here in Vancouver, it's only a 500 club at home. It's very concerning. They don't score much. They don't give up much. And they're trying to find a way. They're going to be hard pressed. Are they smiling? No. Are they smirking? No. I think it's somewhere in maybe a little bit of contentment in the fact that they're in the hunt.
How are Canucks fans feeling about this season so far? As you mentioned, they are in the hunt. Yeah. They're still in the 5 points out of the playoff spot. How do Canucks fans feel about this season?
Well, if they're out of the playoffs today with the same old status quo, I think there would be a lot of discontent within the hockey populace. But when you're able to play, you know, first rounders like Jake Virtanen and Jared McCann, and I mentioned Ben Hutton, of course, Sven Barchi is still a young player. Bo Horvat's a sophomore. When you're able to play these players and they contribute, and on a lot of nights they look like you're the better players on the ice, fans aren't stupid. They know that, you know, they can project, well, how much better are these guys going to be next year or in 2 years? We know it's a young man's game, and when you're 19, 20, if you can play, you're going to play. So I think there's an understanding here in Vancouver. There's a lot of empty seats. I'm not kidding yourself. There are a lot of empty seats here, but they understand what's at play here. And, you know, it's kind of a dual purpose. It's kind of a dual mandate for the hockey operations department. I mean, ownership is very much of the mind that, you know, you've got to push to make the playoffs. And the hockey operations department would like to do that, but they also like to develop the kids at the same time. So if it was the old gang doing this, there'd be a lot of upset people in Vancouver. But the fact that the kids are playing and they're playing well, as you know, at Edmonton, you can live with that.
We're joined by Ben Kuzma from the province. A lot of, I guess, fan sites and blogs I've been reading are saying that the Vancouver Canucks, they could potentially retool on the fly and get back to a high level without completely bottoming out. Do you think that's possible, Ben?
Well, they're going to have a lot of money to play with here, depending how they approach the trade deadline and free agency. I mean, they've got some high-end unrestricted free agents that, you know, depending on what Jim Benning does here, I mean, everybody seems to be of the mind that, you know, you just wait till, you know, June, and maybe at the draft you try to trade your unrestricted free agents to get something for them. There might be something bigger at play here. You'd like to think that, you know, Radim Verbata could probably help there's so many teams that are struggling for offense. I mean, you look at the Montreal Canadiens, you look at the New York Islanders, Tavares doesn't really have a right winger. Organizations with some interesting young players that the Canucks might be interested in a bigger package. You know, Dan Hamhuis is coming back after the All-Star break at some point here from that horrific incident where he took the puck in the face 2 months ago. What if Dan Hamhuis in the next 3 weeks starts playing like, you know, Dan Hamhuis did at the World Championships? There might be an interest there. I mean, what team doesn't want to add a potential top four D-man at the deadline to help them get over the top? So those guys are in play. There's some lesser unrestricted free agents at play. I mean, if this was to all play out to next summer, they'd have $15 million to play with. But I think what they're trying to figure out here is we're going to let Rabada go. How do we help the Sedins out? Maybe not just down the stretch, but certainly into next year. And I think that's where a lot of the focus will be, on finding a real bona fide top six right winger.
This is year two for Willie Desjardins as head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Of course, they lost out in the first round of the Flames last year. But what is Willie Desjardins' strengths as a head coach? What has he brought to the Canucks?
A pretty good teaching element. I would think you'd have to be a pretty good teacher when you've got that many young and impressionable kids. I mean, they have used eight guys have made their NHL debut for the Canucks this year. So that's as good as anybody in the league. I think he's good in that respect. I think patience is another one of his strong suits. But, you know, let's be honest here. I mean, there's pressure to get the team to the postseason. They've got an excellent coach coaching their farm team in Utica. Travis Green got him to the Calder Cup final last year. He's turned down NHL offers. I think they have to keep everything in mind here that, you know, eventually, do you really want to lose Travis Green? You want to be able to groom your next head coach. And, you know, that's not anybody shoving Willie out the door, but I think he's fully aware of the big picture here and trying to make a pretty good footprint here. The fact that he can, you know, relate to the veterans, teach the rookies, and make sure that they push at least hard for a playoff spot. And if he does all that in a rebuild, you'd wonder, transitioning on the fly, do you really let your head coach go? I mean, it's different if you have a set lineup all year. So he's feeling a little bit of heat here because you know, the bar is set pretty high for a team that is transitioning.
We're joined by Ben Kuzma from the Province. Just a couple more for you, Ben. We started this conversation speaking about the All-Star game, and two former Canuck goalies are in the All-Star game, and Roberto Luongo and Corey Schneider. Leads me to a question about Ryan Miller. What's been an issue for Ryan Miller so far this season? Has he been as advertised, better or worse? What's the season been like for Ryan Miller?
When Ryan Miller is not injured and he's healthy, he's as good as probably the top five goalies in the game this year. That's how good he's been. But I think what you have to remember is Ryan Miller spent most of his career in Buffalo. The fact that you know, the Canucks had 6- and 7-game road trips in November, again in January, and I think it took a toll on him. He missed 8 games with a groin strain this year, and of course had the knee issue last year. The thing the Canucks are trying to do is manage his time better, and it's hard. I mean, you're paying the guy $6 million a year, and he's got another year left at $6 million. But they've got a really good one in Jacob Markstrom, and he's getting more time between the pipes. And I think what you'll see with the Canucks down the stretch, it won't be, oh, it's a back-to-back, we're playing Markstrom. No, it'll be, we're managing these guys better. We need them both, and we need a healthy Ryan Miller if we're going to have any chance of making the playoffs.
Ben, last one for you. You mentioned that it is a very younger team, but we've talked about the Twins so far. How important are Daniel and Henrik in the transition of basically an old Canuck regime to a new one? How important are those two to bridging the gap between the old and the young?
Well, I think the thing that they do, guys, is that as good as they are on the ice, they're even better in the room. Again, talking to the rookies for another piece I did, that, you know, whether it's been with other organizations or even in junior hockey, they haven't seen a room like this where that's so welcoming. And they purposely put these kids, you know, close to the Sedins in the room. And, you know, the funny thing is with the Sedins, I mean, we're all kind of going on, geez, 2 more years at $7 million. It's gotten to the point here in Vancouver where it's, how can we help them out? How can we augment what they do? It's not like, oh, they're stuck with the Sedins for 2 more years. I mean, Daniel's on pace for 34 goals as a 35-year-old. He's in top 15 scoring. Henderson, top 25 scoring. They lead by example. And when you talk to the rookies in the room, they can't believe how much attention they pay them, how much they are invested in these kids and on and off the ice and helping them find their way in the NHL. And I think that's had a lot to do with their pretty quick starts for the young guys.
Ben, I appreciate your time this evening. You still have a few nights off for the Canucks return action, the team they're taking on next. Columbus is in town tomorrow to take on the Oilers, so I imagine you'll be watching that game, and more importantly, Thursday night when they travel to Vancouver. Thanks for your time, Ben. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Take care.
Ben Kuzma from the Vancouver province.